Thank you, Karen. Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. We are preaching a series of messages, or into a series of messages on the coming world economic crisis. We're not trying to scare anybody. That's not the purpose. We're trying to comfort you, but to make you aware of what's going to happen, so that you'll know who you are and how we fit in this, and that it would remind us of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 11, and follow as I read, beginning with verse 1. This is one of those occasions, and today's message has to do with the new world order. The new world order. And this is an instance in the Old Testament where they tried that. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. This was after the flood. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly," or we would say thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven," possibly a ziggurat. "And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered," watch what he says here, "lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down," the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, "and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Put succinctly, God said, "You're supposed to have nations, and this is not my will." And that's what he had told them. Don't try to build a one world religion and a one world economic base and a one world political base or a one world people. God was not for that. H.G. Wells, a long time ago on a radio program, scared everybody in America thinking that aliens had come and taken over our country. And then later, H.G. Wells wrote a book in 1940. The book was entitled The New World Order, and a quote would have been in that book, "The United States of the World." Even back then, he was mentioning the idea of a United States of the world. We see today an increasing call, an increasing demand for a new world order. A new world order. We get that from politicians and presidents who are asking for that. In 1977, they sent up the spaceships Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. On the spaceships, they put a gold album or gold record, and it was Jimmy Carter who was making quotes on there, or statements on there, that was asking anybody out there, when they discovered those there would be people out there, that they would join in with us and help us, because we needed a one world cosmic government as well as a one world government here. And so he was asking for that just in case they found that. I don't think they found it, but at any rate, Jimmy Carter is one of my favorite persons to quote. The liberal Sunday school teacher from Plains. But at any rate, that's another story. September the 11th, 1990, George H.W. Bush, in a joint session of Congress, they were meeting on the Persian Gulf crisis and the budget deficit and that type thing, and he called for the very same thing. He is really a one-world government man. And, he is a Republican. But recently, in a Copenhagen, I'm just giving you equal time, the Democrats, Republicans, I want you to have equal time. Don't look at me like that. You scare me. Not much, but you do. They recently had a treaty in Copenhagen, and they are meeting for that, and they're trying to come up with some standards for the whole world as far as climate control, all of those kinds of things. But basically what they're really trying to do is to help, and it's a UN-sponsored type thing, to help bring us to the place where we have some kind of one-world control on gas and fuel and greenhouse effects and all of that kind of thing. But it all leads to the idea of a one-world government and a one-world control. Now, they did not give a binding agreement, did not come up with a binding agreement, but they certainly did open the door to a powerful global government agency that would control things. This is all happening right now. And it would give authority, worldwide authority, over any sovereign nation, including the United States of America. Any sovereign nation. And so this is opening that door. There's a man by the name of George Soros. I don't know if any of you have heard of him, but he is one of the most wealthy men in the world. And he is probably in the number two position of the 30 richest people in the world. And he is using his money in every way that he can to manipulate the idea of somebody that would get into position, that would get into power, that would have the one world mindset. In 2003, he declared about some of these things and about President Bush that he wanted to remove him from office. He'd do anything, spend any amount of money. He did spend a lot of money trying to do that. Then during the first decade of this last new century, this man funded many, many, many liberal political movements. I mean with megabucks. And he wants us to have in the whole thought of things the idea that we're in such a mess that we need a one-world government. And he talks about the global recovery. And out of all of that, having a one-world economic system because of the devastation of the economy and all of that. He has predicted double-dip recession, the super bubble, all of these things that are going to come. And following this, he says, what we need is going to happen is a new world order. And out of that, it's going to emerge. And he is spending millions upon millions of dollars to try to promote that cause, including a lot of liberal politicians and political causes. And he has said that the final cause of his life, and he's on up in his 70s, I think it is now, the final cause of his life is to reinvent a new global order following this collapse. And is quoted as saying that the United States should not resist any kind of global currency and any move to that. Now, I don't have any insider information, but I can tell you what I do have. I have the Word of God. And I believe that is the authority that we need to look at. Now, the ancient appearance that we have of a one-world order shows us that God was not for that. After the flood, you had Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their descendants, and out of that came a man by the name of Nimrod. Nimrod wanted to come up with a one-world religion in Shinar. That is what is presently Iraq, or what we would know as Babylon. Back then, they had the descendants that came out of the flood. They were nomadic people that were moving around from place to place. And they were afraid that there would be wars and all of that among those different groups. And so he had a solution to the problem for protectionism, that they would come up with a one-world government and a one-world religious aspect. And he would draw these things together. And so he wanted to build the Tower of Babel. That, my friend, was total rebellion on his part against God. God had made it very clear that he was for nations and that he wanted to spread these people out in their nations. That was God's plan. Nations as he would have it. In fact, he mentions nations in the millennium. It's important to God. In Revelation 21:24, and the nations, plural, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. God believes in nationalism, in nations. That is part of his plan. Now we have that ancient attempt. Now we have the modern attempt at a new world order. What are some of those attempts? Well, they first came out with one organization called the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was designed because of the threat of nuclear warfare to protect us and to protect the world from some kind of nuclear warfare. But this was the first modern attempt at world peace. By the way, it disbanded in 1946. They didn't quite cut the mustard. They didn't quite get the job done. Well, in 1945, a year before they disbanded, they were talking about and bringing into position an organization called the United Nations. The United Nations. And that was, as I said, in 1945. Again, the motivation for that was the fear of nuclear war. That there would be an all-out nuclear war and that people would be destroyed. We would destroy each other on the earth. Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, as some would call him, back then was a senator, and he quoted and had on his radio program that he owned Robert Montgomery. Robert Montgomery was in charge of the University of Texas. Some of you would remember that name. And Montgomery made this statement back then. He said, "We've got to have peace. We probably have to have one world government, a United States of the world." The president or the overseer of that position of the University of Texas. And Lyndon Johnson and some other commenters on his radio program, especially those who made some comments, said that this would be our savior, that we would have the United Nations. Now we have the United Nations that's headquartered in New York. It's an 18-acre campus, a lot bigger than what we have here in our acreage, and it fosters an attempt right now for a new world order. That's what they claim. They're trying to usher in peace and do it through a new world order. And they have in the United Nations gifts some nations all over the world. For instance, Russia has given them a gift entitled, "Let Us Beat Swords into Plowshares." Many times they quote scriptures in many of the gifts. They quote them out of context and they don't mean the same thing that the Bible means. They have a peace window. That is a stained glass window. And in that peace window there is a tree. The Garden of Eden is represented, and a serpent and the cross of Christ. And so that's in the peace window. They have a mosaic that is given by the Vatican. The mosaic says, or in the mosaic, it is the dove of peace. We see the dove used many times as a peace symbol. In Luxembourg, they sent a bronze sculpture, and it's one that many of you have seen. It's a 45 caliber gun, revolver, twisted into a knot. And what they're trying to say through that famous picture that many of you have seen is that they want to bring world peace, and they're going to do it through a one world government and a one world economic system. Now, may I just simply say that the United Nations is failing? They're failing miserably. There's too much bureaucracy in it. There's already been fraud where they've embezzled millions of dollars. They have pointless debates. It reminds me of some of the Independent Baptist Fellowship business meetings. They have pointless debates. And being president of that, I know what I'm talking about, and Brother Rigsby does too. But, for instance, let me give you an example. In 2005, to show you this organization, the Secretary General, Kofi Annan, charged the United Nations to investigate human rights issues. and some things that were being done wrong in human rights by members that were member nations of the United Nations. Now listen to who they chose to check out these violations. China, Sudan, Zimbabwe, Russia, and Saudi Arabia were on the committee, on the group, to check them out. There's nobody who has violated the human rights issues any more than these people. It's a joke, a great big joke. The United Nations peacekeepers did not stop the killing of 800,000. I said it right. 800,000 Tutsis were killed and murdered in the sight of the United Nations peacekeepers in Rwanda. They did nothing about it. In Bosnia, they failed to protect 8,000 Serbs in Bosnia who should have been protected by them. In Darfur, the violations still continue. And one of the most outstanding things about them is when it comes to Israel, they are forgotten by the United Nations. They celebrate annually an Arabic celebration, but they do not celebrate it anything like that for the Jews or for Israel. They allow despicable tyrants to speak. I mean, terrible people to speak. In September 2009, Hugo Chavez, Mohammed Ahmadinejad, or Jid, or however you want to say it, dummy, Muammar Gaddafi, all of these were speakers in that. September 2010, Ahmadinejad, and this is a quote, said the American empire in the world is reaching the end of its road. And he called the United States a bullying power. And he said that they are political and they have political and economic pressure against Iran, especially in her pursuit of, listen to this, peaceful nuclear activities. Friend, if they're peaceful nuclear activities, why are you hiding them? Why won't you let somebody come in and see them? They're not peaceful nuclear activities. They want to come up with an atomic bomb. By the way, somebody scrambled all of their equipment, their computers, and delayed that thing for about 2 more years. Thank God for that. And but they want to blow the Jews off of the map. And they're not kidding about it. If they ever get nuclear power, that's what they want to do. And that's what he's saying. Well, all I can tell you, the United Nations is no more than the Tower of Babel. Not a bit more than the Tower of Babel. But hey, I've got good news for you. I don't want you to stay depressed. I've got good news for you. There is the future arrival of a new world order that is good. It is a good one. And all of these other things are going to continue to fail. Will world peace ever come? Yes. When? When Jesus reigns. Amen. During the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and other places that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he's going to be in the clouds in the air. And with the shout of the archangel and the trump of God, we're going to hear that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive at that time are going to be translated. Both of us will go up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And while we are up there with Him, there will be 7 years of tribulation. At least there will be a pseudo peace for the first 3.5 years, a false peace, and then the great tribulation, the last part of that, where all hell is going to break loose after this one world government and after this one world economic system has been set up and Antichrist takes the power and the throne, this masterful person who's going to do that, this representative or replica of what he would call the Messiah. But after all that takes place, Jesus is going to come back and take care of that too. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 11:6-8, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That's not natural. But God's going to take that curse away. And the leopard shall lie down with a kid. And the calf and the young lion, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling there together. And a little child shall lead them. Can you see a little child leading that lion and calf along here, lion over here, calf over here. Come on, let's go. You say, well, that'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will too. The Bible says it's going to happen. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Be better than eating me, amen? And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice's den, and Carolyn Weaver will pick up a snake and play with it. Oh, that's not in there. I'm sorry. That will be the sure proof that we're in the millennium. I shook hands with a man the other day in a hospital, and he had a hat on like a ball cap, and the front of it here, the face of it, was a snake skin, and right on the face of it, he had a rattlesnake's head with a fang sticking down with part of the body behind it, and his cane had a rattlesnake head on it. I was just glad my wife wasn't there. He was where he belonged, close to the intensive care room. She would have beat him to death. But at any rate, Isaiah 2:4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a great day that's going to be. We all want it. Everybody wants it. I want it. You want it. But sometimes this truth about no peace until then frustrates us a little bit. And we say, why should we not get involved in that? Why should not Christians get involved in that? In Romans 12:18, didn't the Lord say that we're to live peaceably with all men? Yes, he did. Well, why not support this global effort of peace movement? Why not get involved in all that? Why not support that among the nations? Let me point out very quickly, and I don't have time to elaborate on that, there's a difference in what God says to the individual and what God says to a nation. There's a difference in what God says to an individual and a nation. In government, in other words, government is set in place to perform the functions of government. And if that means capital punishment, that is a performance of the government. Doesn't mean the individuals in that government doesn't love their neighbor, but it is carrying out what the government is supposed to be doing. In other words, if somebody unlawfully does something to you, you cannot take matters into your own hand. I read just this morning that there was a man who was up there when the shooting took place in Arizona, over there, and in that he made a statement the other day. They arrested him because he said to one of the Tea Party members that happened to be around there, he was going to kill him. They've already arrested that man. You see, he didn't have the right to take things into his own hands. Jared Loughner had no right whatsoever to take the matters, no matter how disgruntled he was. He had no right to take matters in his own hand and shoot all of those people in the Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. He had no right to do that. Government has the right to intervene. Government has the right to do these things. But it doesn't mean that the government is mean. It means they have the responsibility to protect their citizens, and part of that is maintaining military power. And I hope you did not get the idea last week that I was saying we don't need any military power. I believe we need all we can have. I believe we need a constant vigilance as a government, and there is peace through strength. And let me remind you again, people do not mug linebackers and prize fighters. Some of you still not getting that. Let me put it another way. We are safe today, not because everybody loves us. If you think we're safe in America because all the other nations love us, you're wrong. We're safe because they fear us, just like a mugger ought to fear somebody who's a prize boxer or a linebacker that plays for one of those pro football teams. Now, we have the fallout from human efforts that just do not work. And here it is. Christians should refrain from political efforts that call for the uniting of the nations to achieve peace. Why? It is not God's will. Very simply put, that's all we need. It isn't God's will, and it will not work. Very quickly, four problems. One is the promises. The organizations promise peace, and they cannot produce that peace. Here's why. All of mankind is sinful. You understood that? We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinful. And all nations have the potential to have, and many of them do have, leaders that have sinful, ungodly, corrupt hearts. And nobody is going to bring them into line. And that produces tyrants. And that produces tyranny. And Lord Acton had it right. He said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Look at some of the nations where those tyrants are in power today. Secondly, it presumes a unity that's impossible. There's no way that unity can be possible. Why? The differences are too vast. There may be a unity that is has the appearance of being together, but it's a false unity. It is a pseudo-unity. John Lennon, 1971, some of you who listened to him, I did not. I was an Elvis man until I got spiritual. That puts us in an era, but the next group coming along, it was John Lennon. 1971, he wrote a song, it was a popular song, or sang it, called Imagine. How many of you remember that? See there? Amen. I know about how old all of you are now. He said that he was longing in that song for a time where there's no heaven, no hell, no countries, nothing to kill or die, no religion, no possessions, no need for greed or hunger, living in peace, the world as one. Well, it sounded good, and people loved it, and it was a very popular song, and still is by many of those groups. They play it. But it is a utopian dream. It's not going to happen the way he's talking about. Why? Because man has a sinful nature. Mankind is wicked. C.S. Lewis put it this way, no clever arrangement of rotten eggs will produce a good omelet. If you saw your wife cooking an omelet and she had one or two rotten eggs, she said, I'm just going to throw these in. I think I would say, no, that's all right. I'll just have the toast, please. But no clever arrangement of rotten eggs is going to make a good omelet. And that's what this is all about. Then it also, here's one of the problems, it paves the way. You say, well, it's going to happen, isn't it? Yeah, but we don't have to help pave the way. It paves the way for a one world ruler. And I could quote a lot of quotes from Farrakhan and all of those people who have said that, you know, they want Obama to be that person. And I'm not saying he is, and I'm not accusing him of being Antichrist. I'm saying his own people said, look, here's the Messiah, here's the Savior. But I can tell you it's going to be a successful somebody like that who's going to call for change in the world, and people are going to bow down for it, and I'll tell you in a moment why they're going to do that. But it paves the way for a one world ruler. And in our culture today, here are the dominant values in our culture today. Number one, personal peace. And number two, prosperity. That's what most people are thinking about. Just keep me safe and let me have my toys. Just keep me safe and give me my money. They're not worried about God and being right with God and going to church and being saved. You don't have any traffic jams on Sunday morning. On Monday when I drive in and about 7:30, takes me 20-25 minutes to come down here. On Sunday morning I can do it, well, I don't want to tell you, but I can do it a whole lot faster than that. The only person that passes me on Sunday morning is Brother Reesby. And I'm moving on when he passes me. But when we're being threatened with a shaky economy and a weakening defense, which can come as a result of that, part of that, let me tell you what people will do. Listen to me carefully, because this is exactly what's going to happen around the world, but even, I think, possibly in America. They will sell their souls for a promise. What is that? Give me more peace and prosperity. And Antichrist said, "That's you're exactly who I'm looking for. You're exactly what I'm looking for." And a charismatic leader, Antichrist, will lull people to sleep. The devil will be involved, of course, in that. and he will set up a rule of terror. And then when the tribulation comes, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, which he has promised them, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I'm telling you, the great tribulation is going to be horrible. But all of the one world government, one world peace, and one world religion, and all of that leads up to setting up Antichrist. Christians should not support that. Now, another thing is that it provides a rationale if we were involved in that, and that those organizations, for a global economy. It provides a rationale for a global economy. Rockefeller said in 1994, listen, at a speech at the United Nations, and this is a direct quote, all we need, listen, all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. All we need is a right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. Many people believe that in 2008, the meltdown was that crisis. And there are others from Yale and other places that have made statements to that end, like expert Bruce Judson. Now, when the U.S. economy does fail, if it does, and nobody knows for sure, but it looks like that could happen and force us into that, it's going to pull the world's economy down with it, because the United States is the most powerful economic nation on the face of the earth. You think China is? They're nowhere close to our economy and our money that we have. We're not the biggest, but we are very powerful. But we have never been globalist. We have never been internationalist. We have been nationalist. We believe in one nation under God. We believe in God we trust in this nation. They're trying to rewrite history and say, well, they didn't say that. They did say that. They've been saying it. That's why we have existed. And I'm afraid that a lot of our national pride is disappearing because they're brainwashing university students and some on the lower level to say that is being arrogant and proud, and you're not cooperating because you believe in saluting the flag and you believe in a sovereign nation and nationalism, that you're just being selfish. No, my friend, that's God's plan. And we are one nation under God. I hope we can remain that. Now, what should we do? As Christians, we need to take hope. We have the prophetical warnings in the Word of God. It's there. And we have a knowledge of how to resist that. But let me tell you, He has a plan for your protection until His return. So don't panic and don't go get the doctor to give you tranquilizers. Just know what the Bible says and be sure that you are saved. You see, without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus, there's no peace in the home. That's why you have trouble in your home. Without Jesus, there's no peace in the individual's heart. There's no peace in the family. There's no peace in the churches. Without Jesus, we have to have Jesus. And if you don't have Him in your heart as an individual, you have no lasting peace. You may have just a few moments every once in a while of peace. You think it's peace, but you have no lasting peace. Peace that gives you the knowledge that when you die, whenever that is, you're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus Christ. You see, you're going to spend somewhere forever and ever, heaven or hell. No other place, heaven or hell, according to the Bible. Religion gives you some other options. God does not. And there's no peace, lasting peace, without Jesus Christ. You know why? Christ, thank God, is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace for the heart, for the family, for the church, for the nation, and for you as an individual. Let's stand, please. Our appeal is for you to come and be saved and trust Christ if you've never done that. We're not necessarily asking you to join our church, but we're going to start singing in a moment. If you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, come today. It's never too early to be saved. It could real soon be too late. This afternoon it could be too late. Tonight it could be too late. Next week it could be too late. We don't know when we're going to die. Are you saved? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven? And you say, well, I don't think you can know that. Well, the Bible so clearly says you can. You can have that peace knowing when you die you're going to heaven if you will trust Christ as your Savior. And then as a believer, will you be committed to serving the Lord in these last days? Living right, having good habits, good strong homes, a good strong witness for the glory of God, not playing church, but really getting involved in living for Jesus, giving Him your whole heart. These are signs of the time, beloved. Signs of the time. And what we're going to do, we better be doing it now as we serve the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. If God's leading you to come and join our fellowship, we invite you to come while we sing. Would you come?